The weekly Bible study will meet from September 4th through November 20th. Identical material is covered in the morning from 9:30 to 11:30 and Tuesday evening from 6:30 to 8:30. So it's exactly the same at both sessions. The very front page, you have a little section here with underlines that you can fill in for the location of your room, your moderator name, her telephone number, and then how you can get that. You're going to each have a password in your small group on how you can download the homework if you can't make it for that day. Don't hesitate to call the Women's Ministry office if you have any questions, and that number is 338-3654. On the next page, the weekly schedule is listed according to weeks, all the way from week 1 through week 12. The text that you'll be covering in your homework is also included, and then the lesson number. The Women at Calvary follows the APS schedule, so if there's an abbreviated day for the APS in the morning, we will not meet. If they cancel classes, we will not meet, and that's also true for the evening. And if you're not sure whether or not APS has been closed or on an abbreviated schedule, you can call the Women's Ministry office, or you can listen to KNKT for that information. On the daily schedule page, you have the morning session and the evening session broken down by time. Worship and announcements takes place from 9:30 to 9:50. Then we'll have teaching. There'll be a brief time of transition so that you can walk over to your study groups, hit the bathrooms if you need to, and then we'll have study groups. And I'm not going to go over the evening schedule since we're morning gals. There's a list of exhortations. I am not going through all of them. You can just take time later and read those on your own. Hopefully this evening or tomorrow when you start your lesson or tonight. We just ask that you be good stewards of Calvary Campus, and we have designated areas where we can have drinks and food. I do think we can have the food and drinks here in the hub, but any of the carpeted areas, we ask that you do not take food or drink onto the carpeted areas. We ask that you turn off your cell phones during the teaching or set them on vibrate if you need to be reached by somebody outside of outside of this room. Just set it to vibrate so that it minimizes the distractions for worship and teaching. We have an open door policy at the Women at Calvary, so if you have a friend that missed today or can't come for the next 2 or 3 weeks, please invite her to come at any time. They can come at any point during the semester. We'll always welcome anybody new that would like to come at any time. We can find a space in a small group for her. So please don't let a neighbor or a friend or a family member be discouraged because we're already far into this semester. We also have one-on-one prayer on Tuesday mornings and Tuesday evenings. The prayer room is the same prayer room that we have set aside for the service times during the regular weekend services. A greeter, I think she has a little pin that's a little birdie that will be able to tell you where that prayer room is. If you walk through this corridor between the main building and the hub, it's going to be on your left-hand side. So if you want one-on-one prayer at some point during this semester, please feel free to visit Carly Rao and her team of prayer servants that will be available to pray for any of your needs. I was hoping that Erica Camerod would be here to go over the children's ministry program with you, but she actually is here. I thought she was so busy that she wasn't going to make it, but she's here. On the Using Your Bible study, there's a personal checklist. Please look over that to find out how to be very successful at completing your homework. It's be consistent, be prepared, be determined, be complete, be patient with yourself, consistent, and be blessed. And on that note, Erica Camerod's going to come and bless you with information about the children's program.
Good morning, ladies. I am Erica Camerod. I am one of the coordinators for the children's ministry with the Women at Calvary. We are excited to have your children this semester and be exploring the Old Testament with them. Today, they are learning about David becoming king of Israel, and they are learning that we can rely on God, and he is so faithful. And their Bible story is reinforced every Tuesday morning through different stations. They have worship. They have a drama that is acted out by our youth servants. They have craft, and even their snack reinforces the Bible story. So it's just a very exciting time, and there's a beautiful group of women ministering to your children over there. We're very blessed to spend this precious time with them, and we want to encourage you. All of you will receive a sign-up sheet in your small groups today. If you could please, all of you, sign up at least once this semester to serve with the children, you will be blessed. And we rely heavily on our weekly servants to fulfill our needs. So please sign up, and I promise you'll be blessed. So I pray that you guys have a great semester and enjoy God's word this semester. Thank you.
How many of you have children over in the children's ministry? My word. Sharon, do you know if there are openings left, if we can have more? There are some more openings. So if you have neighbors that have kids and you know that mother could take a break and be blessed both with she and her children, can I add something else to the personal checklist? Be flexible. I think that some of us, we get in the study with this good intention, just like a diet or a New Year's resolution, and we think, oh, I'm going to do every day, every question, and really be faithful, and then something happens one week. You're on vacation, there's an illness, you're just too busy, and you don't get the homework done. So then you start into that cycle of shame. Well, then I'm not going to come because I don't have my work done. But we want to encourage you, come anyway. We want you to know that get what you can get at the level that you're at in the season that you're in. Of course, this Bible study is meant for you to do the homework, to attend the lecture, and to go to the small group, and you'll get the most out of it if you do. But we understand. We have a mom here that has a special needs child, and it's all she can do just to come to the lecture and do the homework. And small group is just one thing she can't juggle that year. No shame in not attending the small group if that's the season that you're in. Or if you didn't get your homework done, but you really want the fellowship and prayer of small group, please come to small group, even if you haven't finished your homework, and have a discussion and pray with other women that we want to be accommodating to you and recognize the season that you're in. So I'm going to put be flexible there. Don't ever let the enemy use some kind of an excuse for you not to be here. That would be such a disappointment to us. So, and now we are going to move into the small group section, and you'll meet another one of our friends, Sue Tabbitt. She oversees all of the moderators in the morning, and so she's the one that has to make sure they're trained and ready and troubleshoots with them. So Sue is going to walk us through the small group section in your notebook.
Good morning, everyone. As Linnea said, I'm going to go over some of the small group procedures. And every Tuesday after you've had fellowship with Angela and lecture, you will attend your small groups. Your small groups last for approximately 40 minutes. And your small group is a really important part of Bible study because it allows you to get to know the other women on a personal level in your Bible study. And so this gives you the opportunity to really bond in good friendships, to enjoy great fellowships, and to pray for, and to be able to pray for one another. And as you do this, you'll review your study every week in your small group, and see where God's leading you on your lecture and your homework as you pray for one another. as I look out into this group this morning, I see so many women that I've been in small groups probably for over the past 12 years, and I have really dear sisters in Christ and really good friends because of those small groups. So I really encourage you to make new friends and bond new friendships in your small groups. In your small groups, you will also have a moderator that oversees the small group. She's the person that will provide the opportunities for you to share God's word with one another as you keep the group on task. The moderator is responsible for making your time together both meaningful and efficient. She also ensures that your group stays on track as you do review your lecture, your homework, and you pray for one another. The one thing your moderator is not is she's not a counselor. So if maybe this fall semester you feel that you need some one-on-one counseling, we would suggest you just make an appointment with the assistant pastor secretary, and she can set you up with an appropriate counselor for that. Also, in your small groups, under the guidance of your moderator, you're going to have a hospitality partner and a prayer partner. Your hospitality partner will be responsible helping the moderator in contacting or corresponding with all the women, and she'll also be making a contact list up for you that consists of your name, address, email, so you can get in touch with each other during the week. And also your prayer partner, oh, and your hospitality partner will also be doing your week or your monthly fellowships if your moderator chooses to have them. Your prayer partners will also assist with your moderator and helping with the prayer needs of the group. So I would say that your small groups are a threefold. First of all, you're in that small group to encourage the love and enthusiasm for the word, to encourage one another to apply God's word to your lives, and to provide the opportunity to get to know one another. So I deeply encourage you to enjoy your small groups, enjoy your ladies, enjoy your moderators. And I would just like quickly to introduce the moderators to you this morning and give you a few of the changes that have been made in classrooms. These ladies are vital to this Bible study. So when I call your name, girls, can you just quickly stand up? Sandy Schweitzer. Susan Castell. Sandy, just stay standing, Sandy. Susan Castell, Libby Bombach, Lucy Tapia, Eileen Mon, who's not here this morning, Frances Sanchez, Helma Merton. Helma Merton's class, if you know you're registered in Helma's class, it has been changed from H4. It will now be in the Plex. Shana Crespo, Terry Barella, Jerry Garcia, Karen Rosenblum, Megan England, Michelle Zena, Carrie Marbury, Diane Perez, and we also have two moderators that are in training, that is Nadia Lyons and Terry Hoger. So these are our moderators. Let's give them a big round of applause. And I would also let the ladies know that if you're registered in Michelle Zana's class, you will be meeting in the sanctuary, as well as Diane Perez in the sanctuary. And Carrie Marbury, you're going to meet here in the hub, right in this corner, right over here in the far right-hand corner. So God bless. And now, I'll leave back to Lynn.
Sue, at this point, does everybody know what small group they should be going to? Is there anybody here that doesn't know yet where you're going? Oh, I'm so proud of you. That's a miracle. Well, if you don't know where you're going, you can find Sue or the gals that are wearing the little birds. They're our hostesses, and so they'll help you find where you need to be. We've really worked this semester to try and keep the small groups smaller. Because in the upper room, we noticed that it was Jesus and 12 men, and we wanted you to have more time to share in the small groups than you have in the past. And with 20 gals, if you only have 40 minutes, you might only get 2 minutes to say something, which, you know, you feel so pressured. So we were trying to taper those back a little bit this semester so you have more time with each other. Well, the homework is quite an amazing task. Although Penny and I are the major writers to it, we have incredible contributors who help us with the homework. And it goes through quite a process. First, Penny and I divide the text and label it, and then we pass it on to a team that helps us with some of the questions, some of the sidebars. It comes back to Penny and I. We probably spend at least 4 to 6 hours on each day writing. It goes back to an editor. From the editor, it goes to a typesetter. From the typesetter, it goes back to an editor before it actually gets copied, which takes forever for Cindy to do to get inside your notebook. Just so you know the long journey your homework has to make it to you. So that's why we encourage you to do it, do the homework. But in order to learn how to do the homework, Christy Willis, who is one of our teachers this semester, and also helps to write from time to time, is going to walk you through how to do your homework, and your first lesson is in the homework section.
Hello. I was also asked just right before I began the homework to give a brief testimony on small group, a personal testimony, just to encourage you about small group. And I started small group Bible study years ago, more years than I want to say. But the first time I went, I'd never been to a Bible study. They told me bring a Bible, so I bought a Bible. We were going to study John, so I marked John. And I got in my small group, and we were talking, and they said, turn to Hebrews. And I went, oh my gosh, what is Hebrews? What does that mean? And the lady next to me was so kind. She helped me find my way. She talked with me after. My small group leader talked with me after and encouraged me that it didn't matter if you were in your first Bible study or your 10th Bible study or your 30th Bible study, that God spoke to each of us and we all had something to contribute to that Bible study. And so just to encourage everyone that there's, no matter where you're at, it's a good place to be. And after years of serving, I hadn't been in small group, and I went last year for the first time in years. I wasn't in there 10 minutes that I knew that that's where I was supposed to be, that I had missed it so much, just the camaraderie of the ladies, and that we can encourage each other and learn from each other, pray for each other, cry with each other, laugh with each other. So just that to encourage you about small group. It doesn't matter where you're at. There's a place for you, and the Lord has it planned and waiting for you. So. Okay, homework. Your first homework lesson is under homework, if you want to turn to that part in your notebook. And you'll turn to the page it says, Lesson 1, The Prince and the Pauper. The homework's divided into 5 days, intended that you do a little bit every day for 5 days. It's set up to take approximately 20 to 30 minutes. There's always room to dig deeper, to go deeper in the Word. And if you want to do that and you need help doing that, just talk with any of us and we can give you clues on how to dig deeper in there. Also, once you're in the study, there's kind of 5 elements to each lesson, if you'll look at it. And on the first page, turn to page 2. In the sidebar, it says lift up. And that is the first element of the Bible study, and that's a prayer, just to get you focused, to get you in tune with the Lord. It's always the place to start is in prayer, to bring you at the Lord's feet and to bring the Holy Spirit and yourself together as you begin studying, so the Lord can show you what He has for you. The next section is look at, and that's where you really kind of dive into the text. You'll read the text. You'll answer questions pertaining to the text. As you're reading that, you'll see some of the questions have a pretty vine sort of thing across the number of the question, and that sends you to the sidebar that says learn about. And that just gives you a little more insight into that text. It might be something cultural at the time that would help you understand or maybe define some vocabulary for you, bring some commentary in, some biblical commentary, just things to help enhance the information you have in the text. Then if you'll turn the page to page 4, you'll see the category that says live out. And this is kind of where the rubber meets the road. And you take what you've just been learning and you go, Lord, so what does that have to do with me? How do I apply this? What am I supposed to do? Is there some change that I'm supposed to make? This is the application part. And you'll also see in the sidebar on page 5 a listen to. And that's just a quote from an author or a writer or a speaker, something that enhances what we've done, also shows you that other people have been where you are and they have some insight to share with you. It's just a quote just to add to the other information that you have. Okay, your homework every week you'll receive in your small group. If you can't attend small group, Sharon already said that you could get the password from your moderator to go online and get your homework. You may stop by the women's ministry office to get your homework, or you can make some arrangement with your moderator to get the homework. And I think that's all. Enjoy.
How do you like the smaller notebooks this year? Oh. The women have been encouraging us to save money by downsizing and be more eco-friendly with smaller, but also it's more portable. It's about the size of your Bible. So we've worked really hard, and that took a lot of effort by Cindy and Lindsay in the office. They had to really work at reformatting everything. So are Cindy and Lindsay here, if they could just stand up so you guys know how hard the office gals work. They're in the office working, right? Well, anyway, stop in the office and thank them for making this possible for you. You can see the women at Calvary really is a team of women. Well, you will be getting announcements from time to time that's in that last section, and so we'll fill you in on things. But one of the goals of the women at Calvary is that we're not just takers, but that we're givers. As a matter of fact, Jesus will talk a lot about that, that how the world knows that we love him and how people know that we love one another. And often actions speak louder than words, don't they? Don't just tell me you love me, show me that you love me. And so we have an important part of the women at Calvary, which is outreach, where we have the opportunity to show our community and our church that we love them through actions. And so we have someone who oversees that for us in the morning, and that is Joan Wilson. So she's going to let you know some of the outreaches the women will try and impact this semester.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I had to use the ramp. Don't let anybody kid you. It's not the eyes that are first to go, it's the knees. It's just a pleasure to be on the outreach committee and to work with the outreach women in the evening. And my outreach partner in the morning is Pat Walters. And you'll find her faithfully at the desk. Pat, would you like to stand up? She's here. She is over here. And the outreach, where you'll find the outreach is listed and displayed, will be in this corner here. And we have three outreaches this year. The first outreach is a event. We're reaching out to missionaries in Asia, and they are in a part of Asia that is Laos, Burma, those countries. And you will find in this brochure, which is on the back table, all the details for this outreach. And we are asking for a contribution, a monetary contribution of $1. And we're hoping and praying that we'll have 100% participation. Of course, an additional money would be fine, but if everyone gives a dollar, we will, you know, this will not be a burden to women. And Linnea has asked the outreach committee to not to make these outreaches financial burdens for you. The other thing that is the most important is prayer. Yeah, is pray for these missionaries. These are missionaries that are behind the bamboo curtain, and they are constantly persecuted, and the money that we will be collecting will be to provide study Bibles for the ever-growing new pastors and for a mercy fund for the families of the pastors and missionaries that are imprisoned. And so we thank you and encourage you to pick up a brochure at the back table. And as Jesus said, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And with that, I want to thank you for your participation in the three outreaches we had last semester in the spring. They were very successful. We collected many eyeglasses for the needy. We had a huge, it's amazing. That's why we're asking for the doctor. Those pennies we collected in the baby bottles for the CareNet ministry added up to well over $1,000 that we were able to contribute. So we have every confidence that these will be successful. The next ministry or outreach that we have is a military outreach. And we'll be doing that next month. And we're going to be going through a volunteer organization called Adopt a Platoon. We will not know the identity or the names of the men and women that we will be reaching out to. But I had this organization referred to me. They're approved by the Defense Department, the State Department. And our outreach is also fits within the criteria that they approve. And we've been assigned a unit of paratroopers that are in Iraq. They're with the 82nd Airborne, and many of them do not receive mail or care packages from home, and their commander, Captain Jonathan Harvey, suggested that he would welcome mail from dedicated Americans that he personally could hand out to soldiers who do not receive mail. So aren't we being blessed? Yes. Yes, we are. And I had an email from my contact with that organization, and she says, "We thank you in advance with all our heart for every kindness you will send to your platoon. What a blessing you will be to our guardians of freedom serving so far from home." We're going to have stationery and envelopes available for you to write messages of encouragement, and also there'll be calling cards for you to purchase and put in if you desire to do so. The third outreach will be to an organization that you probably all know, and that's Joy Junction. And as you well know, when the holidays and the cold weather draw near, they start asking for donations. So we will have that available for them in November. Personal items, hygienic items, food. We'll have collection bins placed. So with that, I would like to thank you all for the participation you've given us in the past. But most of all, I just ask that for your prayers for each of this. Before you put your dollar contribution, stand and, oh, look at that wonderful display back there. A picture is worth a thousand words. Yeah, I thank you.
I can't tell you how tender to my heart are these outreaches. When you go home today and you get to tuck your kids in bed or make a meal for your husband or talk to your parents, you have such an extreme privilege that the people in the bamboo curtain don't have. These pastors and ministry leaders are being arrested and thrown into prison, and their families are tortured, and without a major breadwinner, they are in desperate need, and that we can help them is pretty astounding. That just a dollar, it's a pretty amazing thing that we can do. And sometimes we're just so unaware or disconnected from our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world that really pay such a heavy price for bearing the name of Christ. It's a high privilege, but for them it's a high price. And that we can come alongside and minister to them is unbelievable. Again, a high price for freedom is being paid on our behalf by our soldiers. Whether or not we agree with the president, whether or not we agree with this war, our men are there, our women are there, and we owe them an amazing debt for the sacrifice that they're giving. And so to just send a letter, and you know, some of us go, well, what would I say? I don't know them. You know, I think they find anything refreshing. I live in New Mexico. We grow green chili here. I have three kids. And, you know, the other day I went to whatever movie and it made me think. And, you know, just anything from home probably is just welcome. So don't feel like you have nothing to say. I'm sure you can think of something to ramble on about. We are pretty good at that, ladies. So to do that as well. And then Jeremy Reynolds has been in this community for such a long time helping the homeless. And, you know, Skip and I have moved down to the valley, so we spend a lot of our time on Central because that's kind of where we hang now. And clearly we have a homeless issue in Albuquerque, and for us to turn our eyes to those that are lesser off than we are would just do a disgrace to the gospel. If anything, the gospel is to help the helpless, to love the unlovely, to see the unseen. And so often we don't. And, you know, I've done different things over the years for that. And I think the older I get, the more tender I get. When Nathan was young, we used to make bags of lunch with tracks in it. And if we ever saw someone holding up a sign, Nathan's job was to spot them, and we'd hand him a bag of lunch. And that was really neat. You know what anymore? I know they might go drink. I know they might go do drugs. But God says I'm supposed to love, not judge. It's not my job to figure out what they're doing. So, you know, anymore, I just roll down the window and hand dollars out. And I know it's probably silly, but I would just rather have a tender heart toward God than a judgmental heart toward man. And so do what you can with what you have and with what the Lord lays on your heart. Well, you can see the women at Calvary are blessed indeed. We have the most amazing team of women, and you've just met a few of them or seen a you know, a little bit of what our team is doing. And so for that, I want to thank you gals that are a part of the Women at Calvary. We couldn't do it without each one of you in your place. So God bless you and thank you. And we hope that you gals that are just entering in as the Bible study level, that you'll become a part of the team. There's always room for one more person to put on a stamp or help us with a database or make a cup of tea. You're needed. We need you. And isn't it nice to be needed? I mean, I'm an empty nester now. So it's, you know, I'm having all those, I don't have a baby that needs me right now. You know, I don't have anyone to feed or tuck in bed. And so it's always so nice to know that the body of Christ needs you. And so certainly if you're feeling like there's that empty spot inside of you that you would love to be able to be, you know, we're just nourishers as women, aren't we? We're just those people that cuddle and coddle. And so if you have that need to do that, you just come into the women's ministry office and we'll give you something to do. We do need you. Well, it's my turn now to mention as the lecture part. You'll have lectures in the notes. And this semester, we're really blessed to have a team of four and a fifth person as our kind of fill-in substitute teacher, just-in-case person. Of course, you know Carmen Camino, and we just love her. She will be back again this semester teaching. Penny Rose will be back, but she's on vacation today. So, yes, I love Penny. I will be back this semester, of course. That's why I'm up here. Christy Willis, who is here earlier, will be joining and teaching with this team. And then Larissa Lusco is going to be standing in as our substitute. So God is good that he's blessed us with women. So this semester, these teachers are going to be sharing the upper room discourse. And I have to tell you, it was a little challenge for me to just even prepare a short introduction for you because I teach next week. And I was afraid I was stealing my thunder of everything I had to say next week. And Skip just thinks I'm a nut anyway because it takes me so much longer to study than he does. And I've been thinking about it and drilling him all weekend. I came home last night because we were gone and studied for 2.5 hours. I mean, you can see my little section on this. It's a new thing I'm starting. I'm using colored markers. So I have orange and yellow and purple in here. And so I studied for hours and didn't write one note down last night. Skip came and he says, well, I guess you'll preach from the overflow, won't you? Well, this morning, a couple things I wrote down is, number one, discourse is such an old word, isn't it? What is an upper room discourse? And so I thought, well, maybe I ought to look that up for one thing. And I found out that discourse means to converse or to talk. And I thought, well, I can do that. And it's to have an interchange of ideas. It's the capacity of orderly thought or expression on a topic. And that's what Jesus and these 12 apostles are doing. And that's what we want to do this semester. We want to have discourse, a conversation, a talk. We want to express things in an orderly way or have a conversation on a topic or a subject. Well, where this discourse, this conversation was taking place was something called an upper room. And again, that's old terminology that we're like, what is an upper room discourse? Well, in ancient homes and even in modern Middle Eastern homes, they often included on their upper level or on their roof in Jerusalem a guest chamber. And this guest chamber was not for common use. Now, since Skip and I have moved here, we have a guest room. And we're blessed because we get to use it a lot, but it's not for common use. Skip and I don't go in and spend the night in there. We don't go hang out and take a shower in the guest room. It's a special room where we just have special people come stay. Now, I don't know about you. Well, I have done this once. I don't necessarily go offer my guest room to homeless people, but I have done that to my husband's shock. But generally, our guest room are for special guests that we know and that we're intimately inviting to be a part of our home, right? It's friends, come stay with us. It's loved ones. It's in-laws. It's your kids. It's your grandkids. Come stay in our guest room. Well, Orientals did this. They received company and they held feasts in these special rooms. And sometimes they would go there themselves for prayer or meditation. It was this special place. They were often secluded, they were spacious, and they often had expansive balconies or views. Thus, they were a cool place, you know, where breezes could blow through at the end of the day. And I found that, again, this is another great thing women can do. We can have conversations, and we like to have company. And we like to make our company feel special. And so the upper room was a place to make company feel special. And so this semester, we're hoping in the small groups, you will have a conversation and you will feel special. It's the job of our moderators, our hospitality partners, and our prayer partners to invite you to these rooms and make you feel special, put you at ease, and let you feel included. And that's just what Jesus did. He invited his 12 favorite people, and he said, go prepare a place, get a meal ready. We're going to have a special meal. Well, this semester, we kind of wanted to enjoy or include this idea of hospitality. And so Paula and Nedra have, if they don't mind standing up, are going to be serving you coffee and tea. So if you come early, you're welcome to have coffee or tea and then bring it in the room and make this feel like we are having a special time apart. Now, you can't take it to your small group because of the carpet, but we hope you enjoy it here. And then at the end of the semester, we're going to have a meal together. So we wanted to enjoy and have you more relaxed and know that we want you to feel comfortable and be a part of us. And also we've worked on, I've told you, making these small groups smaller. And we want your to have conversation, not so concrete that we're doing lesson one, day one, question one. We want to kind of make this more engaging and get your ideas and involve you in your thoughts. We want to make it more than a lesson into this language, into this discourse with one another. So if Jesus came to your small group this semester, if Jesus came to our special room, this upper room, what questions might you ask him? What questions do you think he might ask you? Because that's what a discourse is. It's a conversation with questions and answers. You see, Jesus made himself incredibly approachable in this upper room discourse. And you see people coming for questions. Peter, Thomas, Judas, not Iscariot, Philip, all in their turn came and had questions in a conversation. So I want to ask you a few questions and maybe give you a little extra for some of you who like to be those eager beavers with your homework. Do you feel loved? Do you feel unlovable? Have you ever felt unconditional love? Do you feel like you have been accepted for who you are in your life? Well, if you're like me, you kind of go, well, sometimes I feel pretty unlovable and I feel pretty lonely. Then I want to encourage you to get a highlighter this week and go through this text, John 13 through 17, and highlight the word love. And you will be shocked to see how often it occurs. And that's one part of the conversation that Jesus is having this semester with you, with the people in your small groups. And you may be surprised to find out in John 15:9 that Jesus will say, as the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Abide in my love. For us to say we're unloved, unlovable, unrecognized, unimportant, is to do a disservice to our Savior, because he loves you. Ladies, this is a huge area for us. We complain so often. I'm single. I don't have children. I have an empty nest. My husband didn't send me flowers. It was my birthday and no one noticed. Shame on us. Shame on us. When we have a Savior who is showering love, underline the love in this text. Maybe another question I have for you is, are you consumed by this world? Are you dabbling with worldly pleasures or pursuits? Are you compromising your faith? Are you more of this world than merely living in this world? Get a different color highlighter this week and highlight the word world. You will be shocked to see how much it occurs in this upper room discourse. And you know what? There is a stark contrast between those whom Jesus loves and those whom are in the world. And he wants you to know in chapter 15, verse 19, if you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. If you've gotten too cozy with the world, maybe there's something wrong with your Christian walk. Another question in this upper room discourse, are you wasting time? Do you think you have plenty of time before you die? Plenty of time to get done what you need to do, to watch whatever, to TiVo all your favorite programs? Do you organize time with the Lord? If you highlighted all the frames that denote time, like this hour, a little while, Jesus is constantly putting them on a heavenly timetable, saying it's just a little while longer, the hour is coming, you need to get ready, prepare yourselves. If you underline or highlight these words, you will be surprised that Jesus is saying, wake up. The clock is ticking, and it's not just your biological clock. It is his heavenly clock. In John 14:19, he says, a little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you also live. You know what? Truly, we just have a little while to impact those in our lives. We just have a little while. Our life is but a breath. And Jesus was very aware of that. And I think we should be too. My last question in this discourse is, what do you have to show for your life? You know, the older we get, the more we think about that. Have I made an impact? I mean, do you feel empty? Do you feel useless? Do you feel unfruitful? Do you wish you could be more productive? Do you wish you were leaving something eternal behind in this temporal world? Well, then highlight the word fruit. Because that's what Jesus says we're supposed to do. Be productive, leave fruit, make an impact, give something that somebody else can enjoy. And if you do, you will be amazed that that's what God wants your life to be about. And you'll find out in John 15, verse 8, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." Well, I hope you enjoyed the discourse this semester, that you will know that you are loved, you will know you should not be a part of this world, that there is a heavenly timetable ticking, and that in the meantime, we are supposed to be bearing fruit. And we'll be studying that throughout the semester. So now, God bless you. We love you. Go to your small groups. If you can't find your way, look for someone with a little bird. She'll tell you how to get there.